This is Lori Prox here with Kathleen Todd, a medical doctor here at Valdez Medical Clinic and also Providence Hospital. So thanks for joining us once again. And this is going on so long. First, we were talking about emergency and medicine and you know, it seems like we were just kind of having a little brief discussion on what we were going to talk about. It's turning into logistics of how to handle something, which is indeed helpful. So one, I know, trying to navigate through schools being back in session with COVID, and thankfully, I think we're one of the few school districts in the whole nation that can say that we've been an entire quarter in school with just one day off for COVID. So first off, before we delve into what we can't do, we did do something, and that's pretty measurable in your relationships with folks. Are you finding that's a pretty big deal?
Yeah, and I think that most people do recognize that is something pretty amazing in this pandemic. And so I hope that we can keep doing that and make the sacrifices that we have to not have to make the big sacrifice of going back to doing school on the computer, which everybody agrees is not as good.
And the first thing that I think we're dealing with now and that people see is, you know, kids are back in school, but activities, extracurricular activities, they do require interaction, or that's the traditional way that we've done sports and music and different activities, is that there's interaction between schools. And I know there's a lot of questions about, I think you and I have set pretty well, all right, and hopefully people have been listening, they understand that there is a committee with medical professionals on it in the school district that does make decisions regarding Valdez City Schools and the level that we're at and whether our kids can go play or not. It also determines, I think we're at level two, so at level one, no mask, but level two, kids are wearing masks in school. So I think people are kind of getting the gist of our system here. If a kid's sick, they have to go get a test to get back to school, negative COVID test. But how do we relate to other schools when it comes to any type of extracurricular activity?
Yeah, and it gets kind of confusing, because if you're just reading the newspaper or like the Anchorage newspaper or whatever, they're going to talk about, are we in red, are we in orange, are we in yellow? And those kinds of designations make a lot of sense if you're in a big place like Anchorage, because even within their district, they have multiple units that are more than 20,000 people, I think is the number, where you can make statistical comments. So you could even say in Anchorage, well, the south side is yellow and the north side is red, or vice versa, and make your decisions by high school because there's so many people. Well, to get 20,000 people, our district includes Fort Yukon and, you know, just this huge area. So most of the small districts in the state are not going by just what color they're in, because we're in red, but we were in red in July or August or something like that because of Fort Yukon, and that really doesn't affect whether our kids can are going to run into people with COVID or not. So all the districts get to decide on their own what they're going to do, and so it might be that we say, whoa, you know, there are too many people in Delta. I'm just going to pick one. And there are too many people in Delta, and we don't want to send our kids there. Or it could be that Delta says, we're closed down. We don't want you to come because we're afraid that we're too infected. Or we're afraid you're too infected. Or Delta could say, well, you can come, but everybody has to wear a mask. And even to play basketball. And if that's their rule and they won't let us come otherwise, or then we have to decide whether we want to play those games or not. So each district gets to make its own decisions, and there have been some decisions made at the middle school level, for instance, of we're only going to play if we're in such and such a phase, you know, so that they can kind of plan ahead a little bit more. But basically those decisions are being made all the time. And
with all of this, I think sometimes there's no face, but with this, we can put a face to it, because in a normal year, it's Todd Wagner at Valdez High School and Michelle Peterson at Gilson Middle School that are the athletic directors. And normally their job is to set the season and then make all these things happen. But their jobs have turned into just constant evolution and change and monitoring all these different school districts and making lots of phone calls. So first off, hats off to Michelle and Todd, because if we are actually having events and activities and the administration, because the principals have to get involved, the secretaries, there really is a lot of contact and communication, more so than in a normal year, in addition to what they're already charged with doing in a normal year. So hats off to them, but there are decisions that have to be made. And sometimes, you know, maybe the day before a travel, a kid on a team in another community has COVID. So then they're trying to prevent the spread. They're not coming.
It's all off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's tough to deal with all that change and last minute, but I can guarantee you it's not the choice of the folks organizing. They would have loved to have just said it and then known nothing was going to change, but that's not our reality right now. So, and your choice to either quit or forge ahead and try to do the best that you can do. So that's what's going on. With that, another concern coming up here, as long as we're on the schools, and if for folks who don't know, Kathy Todd is also a school board member, and they just had a meeting on Monday night. But there is some concern about a break and travel. And I know, you know, a lot of people have not been traveling, but as this goes on, I know my daughter wants to go and look at some colleges. So it's a little daunting to try to figure out what to do in order to do that in terms of travel at the state level. And then what do you do when you return? What are the requirements? And then whose requirements are those? How do you meet them? So hopefully you can help with that, or at least give us a heads up where we're at in the progress of making those decisions.
Right, and this applies to everybody, not just the schools, but we're just going to use the schools as an example. Recently, there has been a travel mandate for a while now that said that, let's just talk about Alaskans returning. Well, no, I'll talk about both. There's Alaskans returning and then people coming to visit us that are not Alaskans. It differs a little bit as to whether you can get a test at the airport for free or not. But otherwise, it's about the same. You get a test right before you come on the airplane to Alaska, or you get one in the airport just when you arrive, and you have to be in minimal contact until you get those results back. So that's not quarantine. You don't have to stay in your house and away from the rest of your family, but you're not supposed to be going to gatherings and concerts in school, and my job, maybe your job would work, Lori, if you stay in your office and nobody else comes in there, but anyway, there's minimal contact, and then
everyone's living room. I just don't have any close contact.
No close contact with everybody.
Yeah, I'm in your car. Yeah, can't get rid of me.
Right. But then it was that you were supposed to get it. You had to get another test between 7 and 14 days. Did everybody do it? I'm sure that they didn't. But unless you wanted to just quarantine for 14 days, you had to get a test before you came and then a test at 7 to 14 days. And they just changed that to be 5 days and only recommended test. And I asked Ann Zink's office, the DHSS people, and their recommendation remains 7 to 14 and do get the test. So it's up to and they specifically say it's up to employers to decide whether they want to go with the new standard or the old. The thought about the new standard is that it's kind of a compromise, saying, well, gosh, Anchorage and Fairbanks and wherever are so bad that they're just as bad as outside, and so why do we care whether you go hang out in,
Fiji,
South Carolina?
That's where I'd like to go,
versus Anchorage, you could have caught it either place, and so why don't we just take this all the way off? And other people saying, yeah, but it's not that way in all of the state, and so why don't you leave it on? And so 5 is kind of a compromise. 7 was always kind of a statistical number. That is, we think that if you're going to come down with symptoms, the incubation period is on the average 5.5, 5.6 days. So 7 was supposed to kind of catch everybody. 5 is right on that, and we know that the virus is really active 2 days before you get your symptoms, and so maybe 5 is good enough. And so that was totally a compromise number. It doesn't change any of this. None of the science changed. Just
that's a good clarification.
COVID there was in various parts of the country. Valdez is not Anchorage, and we don't, you know, even though we've got more cases now, I think we're six as of
this
last
morning,
night.
Yeah,
which is a whole bunch of people having had it and no longer being considered contagious. There's, you know, there's been a bunch of people who've gone through it, and only one of them getting really sick and dying. But most of the people are hanging out at home and being sick and then getting over it. And so we don't have that many cases, and it's not, and we can still contact trace. Apparently, according to Terry yesterday, the state is behind by 150 people where they haven't even called the person who has the positive test, let alone called all their contacts.
And I did notice at the state level in one of the releases they sent out, they are now asking the public to take some responsibility for their own contact tracing, which makes sense to me. And being involved in that behind the scenes, Terry did a wonderful job, but I know I had, 30 phone calls asking me, about, the situation and this and that before we could even get the cogs a moving. So, definitely. I mean, if your interest is in, if you were exposed trying to isolate that, then the public can definitely help with that, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even at the best, Terry's not going to call you at midnight if your test result came back and was reported to her at 10. She's just not going to do that. But you've already said, wait a minute, now how many people in my household, how many people was I around in the last 2 days? And those people, as you say, might be calling you. And so we would love to have people say, okay, I just got a positive test. I should be in quarantine. I should separate myself from the non-sick member of my family. I should not go to work tomorrow. I should tell the people who are around the same person I was, where I think I caught it from. I should talk to them. I should talk to the people who I've exposed in the last 2 days. And then Terry can go, at this moment, she still is calling all those people secondarily, but boy, it would be nice to kind of nip it in the bud quickly, as opposed to being weeks behind. What good is that to do contact tracing if it's people have already spread it around? So,
and we've been pretty fortunate. The cases are kind of coming a little bit, and I think largely keeping up with the contact tracing. And I know there are resources that Terry can call upon if necessary. So just if people are worried about out there, what have you learned about the Valdez cases? Because a lot of people have had it, they've cycled through, what have you learned on a local level?
Well, at the state level, there's not that many, the transportation, which is why they changed the mandate. But 4 out of 5 of our last cases were related to travel. And even the fifth one is second generation or third generation from travel. So, it's got to get here somehow, and we still have been able to trace it enough to say we can see where it came into the community. I know my most recent case was somebody who had to have caught it outside because they did a test for some reason the day they got back. That's probably not, I mean, after the airport, they did one here in town, and it was positive. And so they had to have caught that outside and brought it over here. So it really makes sense for people to do the minimal contact when you first get back to town. So that you don't, bring it to all of your coworkers or your family or all your friends.
And I would anticipate that, you said employers will be responsible for, folks travel, what their rules are coming back into a working environment. So I would imagine the school district will outline that clearly for employees at the school district. But in terms of students, that's a lot of kids in town. It sounds like a determination has not yet been made, but do we have a timeline for what the guidelines will
really,
be?
Really, really close. I think the most likely thing, as of the meeting with all the health professionals, we have a school health nurse now, the superintendent, and then the infection preventionist at the hospital, Terry Lynch, the public health nurse, Dr. Alfaro, and I. That group is probably going, is probably going to say it really is 7 days, but you don't have to do the test. It's only recommended, as opposed to having to do the test in a shorter period of time. remains to be determined, but it's going to be out there very quickly because if people are making their travel plans for Thanksgiving or Christmas or any other trip for that matter, what, you know, they need to know if they need to buy their tickets in a way that means that their child doesn't miss quite so much school, if they're going to have to stay away for 7 days.
People who have traveled and then I think their understanding of how the testing works upon return has been different than what they had envisioned. And also even going back to school, explain how that works, because if a child, you know, has a cough and goes home from school, they do have to test to get back into school. And it seems like those are going really fast, but why I don't know. So maybe we can explain what is the process and how can you get that done as quickly as possible to get back into school? Because I think there's been a little bit of a delay there.
Yeah. Well, there's two separate kind of separate situations, and they don't make a lot of sense when you first think about them. But they do if you really do think about them. So if you have symptoms right now, that's the time, and if they are COVID symptoms, that's the time you're going to be the highest on virus. So that's when the test is going to be the most sensitive because there's more virus to pick up. So if you have symptoms, your kid has a little bit of fever, a little bit of sore throat, test right then because that's the most sensitive time and you'll find it out. And so if we test right then and it's negative, you say, oh, maybe that's the other cold going around. That's not COVID. Can we say that 100%? No, but we can say it pretty darn well if you do it right at the beginning of the symptoms because that's the time that the test is the most sensitive. So symptomatic people can get a test and we can know a lot about them. And so that kid can go to either one of the medical offices, call ahead to get an appointment for when they're going to be out there swabbing or when you can get your appointment so that you're not waiting. And you can pretty much get a test the same day, all except Saturdays. You can get Sunday night, Monday through Friday, and get a test right away so you can be back in school the next day if you're all the way better. If you still have your fever, you're supposed to stay home because maybe you got strep throat and you can give that to everybody. The other circumstance that we were just talking about with the travel is the problem is you're asymptomatic. So what day should you test? What day are you going to be the most viral load? Or you've been exposed to somebody who has a positive COVID test, who has COVID, you've been exposed. Well, you don't know whether you're going to be the person who starts showing up with a viral load in 3 days or in 5 days or in 7 days or 12 days. And so that's why the quarantine for exposure is 14 days. And so you could end up with the first kid in your family who has the sore throat and they're positive, having to stay out for 10 more days. But the next kid in the family, even if you throw the other kid in his own room and give him room service, no more exposure, the next kid needs 14 days. Well, why is that? Because you have to wait. You know, he wasn't sick on day one. He was only potentially sick on day five or on day seven. So that's why it's longer for exposure than it is for coming back from travel than it is for somebody you already know is sick. They've already done those 4 days while you weren't looking.
And I know we're trying to focus on folks who have it, or I think that's because, you know, I think a lot of folks are trying to focus on everyone and then medical community trying to stop the spread. I know I was a close contact and it is, there's not a lot of direction on getting tested. Just not a lot of direction on when to test. But it made sense to me, but I was the one who had to take the initiative to figure out when to test and to figure out how to make that happen. And it would seem that if you were in close contact, that's a higher probability than somebody walking down the street, you know, that we're going to scream no mask. So, you know, what should that person do? I mean, we're all giving lots of advice, but it seems like I know being in it, that was one where I felt like I really had to make those decisions. And thankfully, I had been talking with you and read a lot of stuff. But for folks who maybe aren't following it as closely, and I knew, once I was a close contact, I got the information to kind of know when what would be good days to go test. But in terms of how to get that done, it's a little fuzzy. So if you are a close contact, is there, you know, from a administrative point of view or a medical point of view, is there more emphasis on testing for, and I think I've said this at the state level, you know, it seems to that it would make sense to put a big emphasis on getting a hold of that, but we had limited tests early on. Are we at a point where we should be testing, or that we're recommending more testing for close contact? Where is that?
We're definitely recommending more testing. The quick test that we have here in town that I was just talking about to get back into school is not quite as sensitive as the test that the state does, so that the one that the hospital can swab you for and then send out to the state takes longer to come back, but it's more sensitive. So if you are not in the middle of a bunch of symptoms, you might get a better answer that way. So that's a judgment call, and do we need to know now? And you're right, it's very fuzzy. You pick that up absolutely accurately. There's no, you know, one rule that fits all for that. There's also, like, how soon do you test? So, for instance, if somebody in your same travel party tests positive, and you just got back from wherever it was, then everybody who traveled together, maybe it's worthwhile testing all of them again soon, because you caught it from someplace else, and maybe you all caught it from there, as opposed to catching it from each other. So if one person gets back from visiting their mother in the lower 48 and gets COVID, but everybody else stayed in Valdez, then testing them the second that the first person tests positive is a total waste. It's going to just give you a false negative and maybe a false sense of security, saying, well, I tested negative. You know, my relative got sick on Monday, and I tested negative on Tuesday, so I'm good to go. Well, that's not right, because you only were exposed on Monday and when they got back from wherever it was, and you've got to wait the 14 days. So the rule stays, you can't test out of quarantine, but sometimes doing a test ahead of time will help public health and you figure out where did you get it and when, and if you got it outside, and you're another person bringing it back in, that's going to be a kind of a different feel for what you do with your friends and coworkers than if you caught it from each other here in town. Can you see what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I think going through some scenarios, because I'm not throwing stones at all, because there's different ways to get a test. So our friend really is education, and really, and there is no lack of that. So if you do run into something, that's one thing I found. There's, Terry Lynch was very helpful, and so was, at the testing site, and Dr. Cullen as well, with information about, because when you're in it, you know, then you know, wait, well, this, you know, we'll test you now, but it's probably not going to be helpful. You should probably come back within 5 to 7 days. So you will, there is information like that, but it's up to you to take some initiative. No one called me to say, today's the day, go take your test. So just so people are aware of...
Yeah, I think what's working for most people, you know, if you have symptoms, just go. You don't really need to talk to doctors very much, just enough to get scheduled. If you don't have symptoms, it really makes sense to talk to medical people, either Terry or one of the doctor's offices, because... You do have to say, well, yeah, let's see. Why don't we do it at 4 days at the one that the hospital's doing that they only do twice a week, because you're going to get the more sensitive test. That would make sense. Or, no, why don't you do it right now, because we'll use the information to help with the contacts. That really is going to be a judgment call for each person. And so to just put out a poster saying, if you're negative but you've been exposed, here, do it on exactly day 5, it's not going to work for everybody. And so that's Terry would love to talk to people. We would love to talk to people. Sometimes you need an appointment. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes it could just be a phone call. We can figure that out. But if you've been exposed, that's a much more
urgent,
not black and white situation.
All right. Well, very good. We're running out of time here. I did want to ask you, though, any new developments? We've kind of tried to cover that a bit in our previous talks. And
well, I guess the other, just to stay on this thing, you may have heard of about new tests that have been sent in huge numbers to Alaska, antigen tests, which looks like a pregnancy test that you would do yourself. This one is designated that it has to have somebody who's trained look at it. But if it pans out, it's going to be great. The problem is those tests are not quite as sensitive yet. So they're not, you know, so there's the state one that's the best, the most sensitive, and there's the ones we do here in town for quick tests that are the next most sensitive, and these are even less sensitive than that. And I haven't seen an analysis about how much less sensitive. But if they are less sensitive, but they are so cheap and easy that you can do them 4 times a week on the people who are in quarantine, it may be worth it. So maybe instead of getting one state test, you get 3 of these cheap and quick tests.
Now, where do you get these? Are these the ones at the grocery store? Did I see a sign?
I don't think they're available at the grocery store yet. I think got an email that the state had a whole bunch of them shipped to them. And they were doing some supposals as to what they were going to be used for. And for instance, they've been in some places in Order 48, they've been using them in nursing homes where if you're in the red, you're supposed to be testing your nursing home patients and caregivers once a week.
But those will come through the
frequent
medical
frequent
community.
Testing with a not quite so good test might be the way to go, because otherwise it's really expensive to do every nursing home patient, you know, multiple times per week.
And so those will probably come through the medical community in some
I think
fashion.
For right now they're going to come through the medical community. If there's something in the grocery store, I don't know enough about it to comment. I'm sorry.
I should just not have said that, because I think it's maybe a flu shot or something. I don't know, flu shot.
I'll
open the door then. Go get a flu shot.
There's also all kinds of things that are going to happen next Tuesday. Are we going to have more tests or less tests? That's partly going to be dependent on the election too. So, and if this new test comes in, maybe we don't need our Abbott machines and people can just go buy one at the grocery store or have the school nurse have a whole stack of them.
So you think, changes will come down immediately?
Oh, I think before the first of the year, it could change.
Oh, okay. But I was like, not the 5th, because we all just need a day off. Let's just
declare
it a national go on social media and keep your mouth quiet for a day break on the 5th.
It's very worrying to me that the federal government has said that after January 1st, they're not going to supply the states with materials to do testing, that the states are going to have to buy those themselves, or the individual people doing the tests like us are going to have to buy those themselves. So you should start ordering now. But I think that I'm going to wait until after next Tuesday to figure out whether we're doing that or not, whether I'm buying materials myself or not, because I think that is all up in the air.
Yeah, most definitely. We're very fortunate here, because I think we discussed this one time. The city of Valdez actually has kind of let our medical community know that they'll help cover that cost. So that's a nice reassurance. A lot of places, I think, do not have that.
Yeah. All right. We are very lucky.
There's a good positive note to end on, so let's end there.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See you next week.